Hey, Paige.
Hey, Sam.
What you doing?
Not hiding anybody in my attic.
Just in your basement?
Yeah.
Well, other than that, what are we doing?
Recording a podcast.
Oh, yeah? What's it called?
M-Cubed.
Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem.
Motherfucker.
Okay. Well, we're back, everybody.
Yay!
Yeah, no, the T-Rex ate the last recording and the research as well, actually. So that's fun. So we had to redo the script, or the semi-script. There are words on a page, and I may or may not follow it. That's that's about how that goes. Do we got anything new?
Updates. I don't think so.
No.
Actually.
Lisa Marie Imre from Coffee and Crime won our little giveaway.
Yeah!
And so I'll be sending that stuff out tomorrow, and I don't know what to give her. So I'm probably going to send her, like, a sticker and a magnet and one of the static cling things.
Sweet.
Yeah.
She is awesome, by the way.
She
really
is.
If you have not listened to her podcast, you should. Because... first off, her voice is just amazing to listen
to. It really
is. Anyways, but she is funny.
She really is.
She is funny. And she does do, she tells the stories, the cases well.
She does.
Too. But yeah, I like
that. The one on Gypsy, it got me. Because, like, the way she told it, like, I knew the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized it. But I was like, are we sure? And then she finished it off, like, telling the other half. That was great. It was a great way to tell the story.
Right.
Because if you didn't know the story, it's like, oh. And it's like, oh. It's a pretty good description, I think.
Yeah.
So, you want to just jump right into this lovely, lovely case that we got?
Yeah.
That you get to listen to for the second time?
Yeah. Okay, so we are doing it again.
Yes. I did it. I made it happen. Alright, so this is not our normal true crime story that I'm going to tell you today. We're going to be hitting a little bit of mystery, a whole lot of mayhem, and a whole lot of motherfucker? With a question mark at the end, if you couldn't tell with the inflection there. But it's a story. It's a true story, and it has a twist.
A twist.
This story is from Australia. I'm gonna tell you the people that are involved, but I will not name the 17-year-old girl. Not that it's not easy enough to find her information, but she was 17 at the time, and I feel like it's kind of iffy.
I wouldn't want to relive.
Right. So there's that. So you'll know like one person's name in this entire fucking story. Anyway, so the story revolves around a man named Julian Buchwald, and he was 22 years old at the time of the events. And he had a 17-year-old girlfriend. Like I said, I'm not going to name her because, you know, she's still very much alive, and who wants their name attached to this?
What is this?
Off-brand Scooby-Doo.
Off-brand Scooby-Doo.
You'll understand. Listen, it's been in my head. It's. You'll see. Now, you may ask why a 22-year-old man is interested in a 17-year-old. And I don't have an answer for that. Not even a little bit. None.
Because he's immature and gross, obviously.
Well, there's that. So, he was absolutely enthralled with this girl. Like, he loved her and he wanted to get married. And they'd been dating for 2 years.
So, he was 20 and she was 15?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Gross. and honestly, they were planning on getting married. And for just a little bit of a background, a little bit. They met while in church. And the girl was, I don't know. At the time, she was very much devout in her beliefs. She wasn't going to have premarital sex, mm-hmm. so they never did any of that. And she's a very religious, right?
Right.
Well, her not wanting to have premarital sex led him to want to get married quicker. She was like, I'm going to finish my school first, then we can get married.
It sounds like she was a very smart girl.
Yes, except for her choice in men.
Okay, yeah. Same.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. So because they were having this little argument about when to get married, because he wanted faster, she was like, slow down. Slow down.
Hit the brakes there.
They talked to their pastor about it. And the pastor actually said, why don't you guys take a month off, take a step back, and reevaluate it at the end of the month. So they did that. Then they got back together. There was still a little bit of contention on when to get married, but, I mean, it's not like he could force her to get married.
No, she was 17.
She was 17. She wasn't even old enough to get married without consent first from her parents. On a beautiful spring day in March of 2008, they decided to go on a picnic. This picnic would be in the bush that was located in the property that Julian's family owned. And they were going to go by this big waterfall, and it was going to be sweet and adorable and romantic and stuff, right? Because apparently they really like to go do outdoorsy shit. But it's Australia, so I'd be afraid to step outside. Yes.
No.
With the magpies alone.
I mean, snakes, they're in your toilets. They're in your house.
Thank you for that.
So, just so you know.
No.
Big ass spiders as big as your head.
Yeah.
Just chilling.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Stop it.
Dingo's taking your babies.
Shut the fuck up. So anyway, on this wonderful picnic, you know, they had planned, they get into his car and they're driving. Along the way, E sees an animal on the side of the road. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go check that out. So he pulls over and he has to walk back a little bit to get to it. And in one of the things that I read and watched, it was like, this was a normal occurrence.
He just normally pulled off on the side of the road?
To look at dead animals.
Oh, it was a dead animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So see, like, this is like red flag number 4 at this point, but whatever. So she's like, I'm good. I'm going to sit here. You go do whatever it is you got to do. I'm going to be here. So he goes off. She's sitting in the car. Probably questioning her life choices at this point. But then after about 10 minutes, she's like, well, shit, he's gone. He's been gone for a really long time. She started looking around and she happened to notice there was a man dressed all in black with a ski mask on, mm-hmm. running toward her car, toward the car. And she must have frozen because by the time that he got to the car, she had not locked the doors. Like, I can't imagine that moment of realizing somebody was coming at me and having to move. That sounds terrifying.
Right.
So he gets there. He pulls her out of the car, hogties her, blindfolds her, puts duct tape over her mouth, and throws her in the back seat. And then they go driving for a very long time. She knows that it's a very long time, but we later find out that it's 6 hours.
Holy shit.
6 hours hogtied, blindfolded, duct-taped mouth, not knowing what the fuck is going on. We later find out that they're in the Alpine National Park, but she doesn't know their actual location.
Where's the boyfriend?
She does not know.
Later, so he could be in the trunk or something.
Yes. Later, he tells the police that he was bashed over the head and put into the boot of the car.
Okay. So he was in the trunk. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, my brain. You distracted the shit out of me.
Well, I didn't know where the boyfriend was. We know where the girlfriend is.
Well, yeah, because the girlfriend tells the story the most, like... So once they get there, to this man's little camp setup thing, he pulls her out of the car, cuts her clothes off with a knife, and, like, just puts her off to the side for a little bit, walks off, grabs a shovel, and she can hear. She still can't see anything, but she can hear every fucking thing around her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's listening to this man dig into the dirt with a shovel. I can't imagine the fear that she must have had in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, nothing like that happens. So I will put your mind at ease on that end. But after a little bit of him shoveling, he just stops and walks away. And then it's silent. And then after a little while, she hears Julian calling out. He's further off in the distance, and so he's calling to her. She calls back to him. He finally, like, wiggles his way over to her. He amazingly finds a knife next to her that the attacker must have left when he cut her clothes off or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with her on getting everybody's ties loose.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to break free. And since the guy wasn't around, they decided to grab what they could and try to escape.
So did he just leave them there?
Seems that way. So they ended up grabbing a sleeping bag and some food. So that food included, like, what was it? A jar of peanut butter and, like, dried fruit. I don't know. Just, like, random. I think they even got a toothbrush, too, but I don't know. Anyway. And they grab this stuff and they take off. Still naked, with no shoes, just in Australian wilderness.
With no clothes and no shoes.
Yes.
Fuck that.
Yes.
That is terrifying.
Yes. Because it gets really hot during the day and then really cold at night. And last time I looked up the actual temperatures, this time I did not. I don't know what they were, but it wasn't like super extreme either way. But it would have been exceedingly uncomfortable either way.
Especially naked.
Especially naked. This whole thing gives like full T-Rex moments. During their attempt at escaping, Julian told his girlfriend about how when he bent down to look at the poor animal, he was bashed in the back of the head, and he must have lost consciousness, because when he woke up, he was at the campsite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was put in the boot of the car, and he just, you know, was there. They wandered in the woods for 6 days. 6 days. Yes. 4 of those days, they were completely naked. Just nothing. And the only thing they had to sleep in or sleep on was the sleeping bag. Around day 4, they managed to have made a massive loop and ended up back at the campsite where they originally started.
I think I would have cried.
Oh, yeah. They talked about it, and Julian, so bravely and quickly, ran into the camp, grabbed a backpack that amazingly had clothes in it, and some more food or something like that, and they took off again. So now they were partially dressed. They had, like, actual clothes on, which was nice, I bet.
I guess it was, like, men's clothes that they were wearing?
Must have been. I didn't specify. And then they took off again. And then within a day and a half or two, they were able to make it to the road, and they flagged down a passing farmer.
So for 4 days, that shit just stayed at the campsite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dude never came back and got his shit, so he wouldn't get caught after they
apparently took off. So. Or maybe he was running after them. Then he just left it there out of dumbassery. I don't know.
It's not very smart.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
Okay. So they made it to the road.
And they flagged down a passing farmer. And they were connected with the police, and the police started their investigation. But I'm going to take you back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very scheduled outing. They were going to leave at this time. They were going to be back by 3. All was going to be well. But when they didn't show up when they were supposed to,
mm-hmm.
The parents started getting a little worried.
Yeah.
You have the girl's family who's like, my child is out there with this man. And then they have Julian's parents. Apparently, his mom was very worried. Like, extra, extra worried for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because every source that I saw was like, she was pacing back and forth, and she kept going up and down the driveway or whatever. I was like, that seems excessive. I mean, I know it was 2008, so, like, maybe cell phones weren't, like, super popular at that time. Like, I feel like I had a cell phone.
Oh, I definitely had a cell phone.
Oh, yeah, I did have a cell phone.
Yeah, it was 2008.
Yeah. I don't know. She was stressing out. So she's pacing all over the fucking place. She's frantic. She started getting worried. There's no reason for them to not be there. after pacing back and forth and all of this other shit, she happened to look over and at the fence that was beside the driveway, and she saw a bottle. And in this bottle had a fucking note. Yes, a note.
That was very dramatic.
She found a message in a bottle. And that message went a little something like this, and I found the actual words and not like the bleeped out versions, which makes me super happy. And I would love to say that I could do this in an Australian accent, but I cannot. So you're gonna get that shit in my weird ass southern thing that I got going on. The note read, "You bloody couldn't leave us alone, so your son and girl went walkabout. You get the girl and Julian back when we finish our business in the area, but only if you behave yourselves and don't shit us around again. Tell everyone they're on holiday. Don't you dare talk to the cops again, and you'll get your kids back. Shit us again, and you'll never see them again. Cause we'll fuck the girl to death and burn her alive.
Oh my god.
And the bloody boy will really enjoy the torture and sacrifice to our god. To pay back the 180 times the hurt he did to us when we picked him up."
What?
I'll get to that in a second. "This is your last warning. Do what we say, and the kids come back in a live condition." I'm assuming this is saying that Julian fought back in some way.
Oh, okay, so he fought back.
Yeah.
To try and save his woman.
Oh, yeah, because so strong and brave. So strong. So after this, Julian's mother immediately called the police, because who fucking wouldn't?
Yeah, she thinks that they've been kidnapped.
Yeah. This massive search was organized, and they started looking all over in the area that they were supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, this is wild bush area. So, that was difficult all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
While they were doing their searches, the police went over to the girlfriend's house, and they talked to her family. And apparently, the girlfriend's family had gotten a letter that was similar, but, like, not as overtly threatening.
Mm-hmm.
The gist of that letter was, "Mind your own business and stay away, or I'll destroy you and your family." But it was like, not, "I will burn her," kind of thing. Just some bullshit things. And then it also mentioned that the Christians were their enemies. So, they were like, this is weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
They called the cops at the time, but nothing was done about it because it was just like, this is weird. Like, there was no tie to any of them or anything that they were doing. Like, nothing. It made no sense. So they looked at both of the letters, and they were like, hey, this symbol is on it. And the symbol is from the Order of the Nine Angles. And because I didn't know what they were, I decided to look it up. This is the briefest of the snippets of all the things. But the Order of the Nine Angles, or the ONA for short, by the way, they are a secret religious movement that originated in Britain in the 1970s. It combines elements of occultism, Satanism, and mysticism in its beliefs and practices. And in the late 90s, it became associated with neo-Nazism. And then after 9/11, they added hatred onto those, to any Islamic people.
Wow.
So, they are assholes.
Yeah.
It is a cult, and, like, Satanism here is, like, the least of my worries. It's all the other bullshit that they're involved in. I don't understand.
Well, they're kidnapping kids. That's not good.
Well, there's that, too. But the thing is, though, they dug into this angle with the whole Order of the Nine Angles, and they couldn't find where there was any chapter in Australia. It's all in, like, Europe and shit. So then they talked to everybody, including the pastor that had told them to take a break and, you know. But he was like, I don't believe they were kidnapped. I think they ran off to get married.
Oh.
Yeah. He's like, but I don't think she wanted to get married right now, but, you know, maybe. They're kids. Crazy kids. And they're like, oh, well, what about this occult stuff? Because, you know, you're a religious figure and all. He's like, nah, that's an anomaly. And just fuck off with that.
And then that's when the farmer finds the kids.
I don't know what the timeline is, to be honest, but this is what they find while they're searching for them. All right, so this is where I'm going to pause for a minute for a quick word from our sponsors this week.
Hey, Paige, what you doing?
Subscribing to Bark Box.
Oh, is that the one where the puppers get a monthly box full of toys and treats? Also, doesn't charge you more for having a bigger dog so that each pup gets the size of treats and toys that they need?
Yeah, that's the one, Sam. And did you know that if you use our link, barkbox.com/M3TrueCrimePod, you'll get a whole ass month free?
Let us help you spoil the shit out of your puppers.
And we're back.
Yes. All right. So, if you have the attention span of a gnat on crack like I do.
And a what?
A gnat on crack.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, okay. I'm like buzzy and like I had crack to it.
I've never given a gnat crack, so no.
I haven't either, but that's what I assume would happen. Okay, so quick recap. This young couple went on a wonderful, lovely picnic, but on the way there,
they were attacked.
They were attacked because Julian had to look at a dead animal for some reason. So he was clubbed over the head, thrown in the trunk, girl was tied up, thrown in the backseat. They drove 6 hours to a national park, and then they amazingly escaped. That's the gist.
Okay.
Okay, so they get back, and...
Did you get into some crack today?
No. Listen, I'm just happy at the moment, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so they get back, and the police question them, and they're like, "Holy shit, where have you been? Tell me everything." Direct quote. So their stories were pretty similar as to what I spoke about earlier. So after interviewing them, they were like, okay, we need to figure out where this campsite is. Maybe the guy left something and we can find it and kind of trace it back to him. Maybe.
Yeah.
Long shot, but we're going to try it. So they find it. And they find all the shit that's just there. And they collect it. They bring it back. They do their tests. And they were even able to determine who it belonged to.
Hell yeah.
It belonged to Julian. I know, you're all surprised. So.
The foreshadowing.
Red flags. So obviously they were like, either Julian was part of it, or this guy was just opportunistic in his attack, because, man, he had all this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they started questioning him. They started off questioning him about getting hit over the head to the point of losing consciousness, because he did have a small spot on the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
But even after a week, it's not enough of a wound to warrant unconsciousness.
Right.
It's like a little bump.
It's a wheel bump.
It's a wheel bump. We know you're full of shit. We know it's all shit. Like, just admit it. Why did you do this? He fucking admits it. He fucking admits to planning the entire thing.
But why?
Hold on, I'm gonna get there, but we're gonna get there. Yes. So he admits that he took a trip earlier in the day, or maybe the night before, to plant the supplies that he needed, like the ski mask and the dark clothes and stuff like that. And he even tells the police about his girlfriend pleading with him, not knowing that it was him, to stop and to tell her what was happening. He admitted to tying her up and cutting off her clothes with a knife. The shovel sound that she heard was him hiding, like, the mask and the dark clothes in the dirt. That's what that sound was. Because it, in his brain, it's buried. It's, you can't see it.
So, to go back, you said that he hid the mask and whatever in the spot where the dead animal was.
Mm-hmm.
So, did he kill the dead animal? Did he kill the animal?
There wasn't an actual dead animal. He just said that he
just said that there was. And she just believed. She was just like, oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
But he knew. He could be a Boy Scout.
He knew where they were the entire time.
Yeah.
He, in case they got lost, He had a map.
What, in his ass crack?
Well, no, it was back at the camp, but it was in the backpack they ended up taking.
Oh, okay.
So they could get out
with the sleeping bag easier, and everything. Yeah. So he made that poor girl run around naked for 4 days.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
For what reason?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
He wanted to have sex. That's it. Sole motivation. He thought it would only take a day or two to get her to have sex with him.
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. Running for your life because she thought that people were after them.
Oh, well, yeah, duh.
Yeah, yeah. So the first night, he suggests that they huddle naked in the sleeping bag and have sex because they'll stay warm and they won't freeze to death. This will keep us alive. And she's like, fuck off with that.
Yeah, no. Fuck you.
And he tried a couple more times in different variations of, in the eyes of God, if we consummate our love in such, in this way, we are married in the eyes of God. And she's like, no, I want to be really married at some point.
First off, I want to live.
Yeah, but sex is not on my mind while trying to survive. And then it was the whole, we're going to die. Don't you want to show God how much you love me? That was around day three. By day four, he realized he wasn't getting shit, and she stuck to her guns, which, good job. So he finished that big-ass loop, and that's when they got the clothing, and then they got the hell out of there. Can you imagine, though? He's not out, like, of all the things that he could have tried to have sex with this girl, of all the things, he chose to put them both in danger.
Oh, yeah, they could have been eaten by anything.
It's the fucking spiders and the snakes and the fucking kangaroos. Like,
he's lucky he didn't get fucked by a kangaroo. Them things are big.
Fuck you up. But seriously though, like, of all the things that he could have done, he chose that instead. It makes no sense.
They literally could have died. What a fuckhead.
Yeah. So in August of 2009, he was found guilty. And for some dumbass reason, he was still allowed to be out on bond. So, he was supposed to show up the next month for the sentencing hearing. And old Julian had a different idea, though.
He fucking ran for it.
He fucking did. He's like, I'm not going to jail. Fuck that. I'm out. So he decided he was going to flee Australia and make his way to Germany, which is where his only other family is. To do this, though, he obtained an Indian passport. Which is obviously fake. And this exceedingly white, like glow-in-the-dark white man, blonde hair, blue eyes, decided he was going to dye his hair and his eyebrows like a dark brown or black color, and then a shit ton of self-tanner.
Oh my god.
Here's the thing though, he got out of Australia. He made it past Australian customs, and he got to Singapore, and they Scooby-Dooed his ass back to Australia. Hey, listen, so I have this image of him being like, pulling the mask off, and being like, it's you, dumbass!
Oh my gosh,
this just...
I mean, but it's
but
like
that picture that I sent you last night, the passport, that's him.
Oh!
Yeah!
Pull that shit back up.
Dumbest.
Hold on. Let me pull it up.
Don't worry, y'all get to see that too.
I don't understand people.
See, they did a psychological on him. And they were trying to say that he doesn't have empathy for other people. They had like a whole title to it, and I'm like, whatever the fuck. The judge also said, fuck off with that noise. I'm not listening to it. So he completely ignored the psychological. He's like, I'm not doing it. So he had this to say after, about the passport. He said, don't try to tell me this passport somehow came into his hands by some benevolent friend. He was genuinely looking for it, clearly. Don't tell me that this just like, oh, it's an opportunity, let's go. And they like, skipped away into the sunset. And then the judge went on to say, this isn't like failing to appear to Brody. Y'all from Australia need to tell me what that is. Anyway, so this isn't like failing to appear to Brody because you're late scoring your dope. This is a dead set calculated determination not to suffer the consequences for what he was convicted of. He was then sentenced to 7 years and 3 months for the kidnapping, which I still feel like is not enough, but...
No, he put her life in danger.
And then they tacked on another 6 months for his attempted escape.
It should be attempted murder.
He attempted to appeal his sentence, but was denied each time. And in 2014, the Immigration and Border Protection Department began to review Julian's permanent residency visa. So, you see, he was actually a German national. He was born in Germany and moved to Australia when he was like one. So he's just kind of like here, there for a very long time. This is the only place that he's ever lived. But because he nor his parents ever filed for citizenship, mm-hmm. they said, you fail. The character test.
For sure.
And he was sent back to Germany, not knowing one word of German.
I guess he better be learning fast.
So he was sent back in October of 2014. And this, my friends, is the purest form of play stupid games, win stupid prizes. But yes, this is my story for you. And I had to pull Scooby-Doo out of there somewhere because I was dying cackling at the thought of them, like, pulling the mask off and being like, it was you! By the Velma over there. I knew it all along.
Oh my god, that is some crazy-ass shit.
It really is.
I just don't.
There are many different ways to have sex.
There are many different ways to have sex.
Instead of forcing people, like...
I agree.
Yeah. He should have invested in, like, a fleshlight or something. Anything. I don't understand. But here we are. He's, like, the dumbest Scooby-Doo villain ever.
Yeah.
I, this glow-in-the-dark man, I'm going to pass as an Indian.
I feel so bad for her.
Yes.
You know she's got horrible PTSD.
Oh, she absolutely does. And... which is one of the reasons, like, I didn't want to go into detail on her too awful much because, like I said, this was only in 2008.
Yeah, that's not that long
ago. And so I wanted to highlight the ridiculous things that happened to her and then call him out for his just dumbass. Just...
I'm very proud of her.
No, absolutely.
For staying strong.
Yes.
And he probably had a tiny dick. Too bad a kangaroo didn't fuck him.
For real. So, anyway, you have some random facts before you have to run away to get your children?
Yes. I do have some random shit. So, we are closing in on all the states in the United States.
We have six left.
We have six left. And I have four, like, random shit for you from those states. Hoping to reel them in to listen to us.
We're going to probe you.
We want to probe you. Speaking of probing.
Of course. Why not? Let's go.
No, I don't have anything on here about
damn
probing,
it.
But so, in Oregon, if you ever needed a beer, a lap dance, or llama drama, just head on over. Because Oregon has the most breweries. More than 60.
I need a llama drama in my life.
Well... it's good because 1/4 of the population in the United States is in Oregon. Llamas.
What?
There's a shit ton of llamas over there.
Holy shit, I want to go.
And they have the most strip clubs per capita.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So you need to get drunk, grab a stripper, ride a llama. Have yourself a time.
Like, visit Oregon. And that's the slogan. Get drunk. Ride a llama. Go see a stripper.
Anyway.
Alaska.
So, Alaska, it is illegal to get a moose drunk and push them out of an airplane.
What? Somebody had to have done that in order for it to be a law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the purpose of this?
What do you mean?
What's the purpose of getting a moose drunk and pushing it on an airplane?
I mean, I don't know.
That's just cruel.
Well, yeah, that's why it's illegal.
Okay.
Okay, also, since 2006, The University of Alaska has held an annual Anchorage outhouse race.
Outhouse race.
Mm-hmm. So there's actually teams of fives. Uh-huh. Teams of five.
Okay.
There's two pushers, two pullers, and one rider. And they have to construct an outhouse. And it's actually, like, inspected by a committee and stuff like that. Those races.
But, like, an outhouse as in you...
Shit.
Go yeah. to the potty?
Yeah. Shitter.
Shitter. Okay.
That's what I...
That's interesting.
So. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Huh.
You know how people have lawnmower races?
I didn't know that people had lawnmower races.
What?
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. They get into it.
Where is this at?
It's crazy. I'll have to look it up for you. But, yeah. I watch some weird shit.
Yeah, you do.
So, I need to definitely watch this outhouse race. I can't talk today. Okay.
Okay.
Another fact that I have for you. So, this isn't really a fact. Have you ever heard of the Devil's Tower legend in Wyoming?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you about it.
Tell me about it, Paige.
So, there's actually several different legends about it, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to tell you a brief one that I found. So, according to legend, two young boys became lost out in the prairie.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to find their way home. And while they were trying to find their way home, they realized that they were actually being followed. They were being hunted by a freaking huge-ass bear. The boys ran from this giant bear for as long as they could, but all they had was, like, open fields. They didn't have really anywhere to hide. Soon, this huge-ass bear was, like, right in front of them, and they just, like, fell to their knees and was like, please don't eat us. And they prayed to the Great Spirit to save them. Suddenly, the earth began to shake, and they just started flying up into the air, pretty much. The ground, the earth, everything was just going up.
Mm-hmm.
It went all the way up into a tower. They found themselves on, like, this big, huge rock tower.
Okay.
Which is the Devil's Tower.
Oh.
Of course, the bear still, like, tried to get up there and, you know, get them.
Yeah.
Clawed the earth, trying to get up there. But the boys, you know, just sat up there and...
We're safe.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then the bear left because he was tired. And then it goes on to say the boys got onto this huge giant eagle and flew off. But, yeah. So, the Devil's Tower.
Okay.
That was just one of them, though. There's actually several more.
We could totally dig into that more.
Yeah. There's a lot more, actually. Because there's different tribes that have different legends.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though.
I thought it was cool. I like shit like that.
Yeah.
There's another one where the sister actually became the bear and, like, killed her family.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there was another one.
Holy shit. Okay.
So, did you know that there is a vampire buried in Rhode Island?
I did actually know that.
Mercy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, do you know kind of the story, the legend?
I know bits and pieces, not anything fully... immersed. I've not dug into it completely yet.
Okay, so George Brown and his family. This was back in 1883. It was George and his wife, Mary, and then they also had a 20-year-old daughter named Mary, 19-year-old
mm-hmm.
daughter named Mercy, and then they also had a son named Edwin.
Mm-hmm.
His wife passed away. Both his daughters passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to save his son from dying... he would have to kill the vampire that is sucking the life out of his family.
Oh.
Yes. That's the legend. So, his son is dying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to save him, he has to figure out which of his family is the vampire that's sucking out the life.
Okay.
So, they exhume Mary's body. Both Mary the mother and Mary the daughter. And they are both decomposed, you know.
You would expect.
Yes. Everything is as you would expect. But then they exhume Mercy's body.
Uh-huh.
She has not decomposed like normal.
Oh.
She still has blood in her heart.
That's weird.
Yes. So they say that she's the vampire.
Yeah.
And they take out her innards and burn it.
Okay.
Yes. Because that's what you do. Okay. To get rid of a vampire, apparently.
I thought the stake through the heart was a thing, but apparently you just take out their innards.
Yeah, 1883, I guess you're just burning. Yeah, they burned her innards. And Edwin still died.
Aww. Mm-hmm. Okay, but hold on a second. If Mercy was the vampire to begin with, why would she be dead?
She wasn't really dead. She was just sleeping, faking.
Oh. Okay.
But she was also kept in a crypt above the ground, frozen, I believe. So that's why she didn't decompose as fast. But yeah. I thought it was pretty funny.
No, it's good.
Well, it's not funny because they all died.
No, but... it's a good story. It's good. You're good.
So yeah, there's a vampire in Rhode Island. Buried in Rhode Island. And you can go visit her. Her name's Mercy. I'll go pick up the kids. Let's go.
Yeah, you got like 10 minutes. So, since we have to cut this short, if you would like to contact us for any reason.
Like a virgin! Sorry.
Apparently this is a musical hour. If you would like to contact us for any reason, you can do so by any of our social media accounts, which we are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And tell us about some random shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send us random shit. Tell us stories and random facts and suggest cases.
Yeah. I like random shit, guys. Mm-hmm. Tell us your spooky stories so that I can tell mine.
Yeah. See, we still haven't gotten a spooky story. I need a spooky story so I can get Paige to tell her spooky story, and all will be well. You know what? Halloween episode. Spooky stories edition. Yes. Make it happen, please.
Tell me your spooks.
We need it, like, now.
Show me your boobs. Not bees.
We also have a... we also have a email, which is...
m3truecrimepod@gmail.com. Woo! Made you guess there, huh?
And you did. I was like, we've not done this for like a whole week or so can you,
Yes. Sure. I did.
Good job. Anyway, so all
Patreon!
Yes, there's that too. Go subscribe. Like, get a bonus episode. September's episode is going to be prison related.
Don't drop the soap.
Yeah, don't do it. It's a trap. Anyway, you get like free stickers and shit. You should just go do that. Yeah. But I will post the link tree down below and you can find all of our shit there. The social media, the Patreon, all of our affiliates, all the things.
Yeah, go talk to us on Insta.
Go do that. Oh, go follow us on Insta. Like, we're almost at 1,000, so push us over.
Yeah.
Yay! So two people come in and follow us on the Insta.
They don't unfollow us, that's just rude.
That is rude. Just, like, ignore us.
It hurts my heart.
Anyway, is that all we got? That's all we got. Okay.
Bye!